Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim daf Lamed Zayin. We left off on the bottom line of daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis at Tanu Rabbanan. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by the Chusar for Shlema for Rabbi Kalmer Shlita Yehuda ben Rivka Leah by a lifelong Talmud. It's also sponsored by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer in memory of his wife Helen Bruckheimer, Zichrona Levracha, Hindel Bas El Yakum HaKohen, Zichrona Levracha, whose yard site is today, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah. And it's also sponsored by Stuart Pollender, Li'ili Nishmas, his mother, Elka Bas Meir, Vichayaleya, Aleha Shalom, whose yard site is today, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So today we're going to discuss a number of issues that are actually pertinent to La Halacha. We're going to start with the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether it's mutter to make a pasova on Pesach, a thicker dough on Pesach. We have two opinions about how to define pasova. I actually should not have said the words a thicker dough. That's only one of the two opinions and not the one we paskin like. There are two opinions as far as what pasova actually means. The Gemara is then going to discuss the issur to make srikin, bread that have designs etched onto them on Pesach, or maybe on Yom Tov in general, on Pesach, and it's going to teach a few exceptions to the Isser, where maybe it's going to be mutter to make bread with designs on them. And then the majority of the daf is going to start with a brisa that lists several types of bread that are pata from Rafashas Challah, and the Gemara is going to bring a machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish about what exempts those breads from Challah, and the rest of the daf is going to analyze that machlokas, but mostly about bread in a frying pan, dough that's fried or boiled in some way or another, whether that's chayiv in Afrashas Challah, whether we would consider that to be lechem in the first place. So says the Gemara, we're picking up from the bottom line of Daf Lamed Vavam Beis. Tan Rabbanan ain't open pas ava be Pesach. You're not allowed to make a thick dough on Pesach. The Girsa is some controversy, whether it's be Yom Tov or be Pesach. So we're going to just read it as be Pesach for now. Divrei Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Matirin and Beis Hillel says that it's mutter to make a pas ava, the kama pas ava. How thick is a pas ava? Meaning we're assuming right now pas ava means a thick dough. So I'm rafuna tefach, that if you're making matzahs have to be way thinner than a tefach. You can't have tefach high matzahs. So that's what you're not allowed to do according to Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel says, yes, you are. You can have tefach high matzahs. How do I know that you can? Shekein matzina b'lechem apanim tefach, because the lechem apanim themselves were a tefach, and the lechem apanim were matzah. That's why lechem apanim had to be on the shulchan year round. Even when they removed them only as they were putting on the new week's lechem apanim. So I remember when I was in elementary school, so they asked klutz kasha, they asked us if lechem apanim had to be on the shulchan tamid, it always had to be on the shulchan. What do they do on Pesach? How did they keep lechem on the shulchan on Pesach? And the answer is obvious: the lechem apanim is matzah. It's not chametz, so they're allowed to leave it on. But the lechem apanim was a tefachai, so you see that you're allowed to make tefachai matzahs, and you're not worried about chametz. Had they been chametz, they would have been pasul. So apparently we're not worried about them becoming chametz. So Maskar of Yosef, Rav Yosef says, well, wait a second. Imamur b'zrizim, yamur b'shenim zrizim. Yes, we trust the zrizim in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim, who are going to be the ones in charge of the lechem apanim. So we trust them to make tefachai matzah. But we're going to trust just everybody on Pesach to make their own matzahs that are tefachai. That's highly risky as far as the chimutz. The imamru b'pas amela, yamur b'shena amela, where the lechem apanim, the dough is constantly worked, it's constantly aggravated, and it doesn't give it time to become chametz. We're going to say it by everybody's dough, where they're not doing such heavy work on the dough. Im amru be'itzim yaveshin, yamru be'itzim lachim. They're very careful in the Beis HaMikdash to dafka use very dried out wood, so the fire burns very crisply, and therefore the bread is going to bake very quickly. But you're going to say that by when they're using moist wood, that you're just as confident that tefachai dough is not going to become chametz. If they had a very, very hot matzah oven in the Beis HaMikdash, but you think outside of the Beis HaMikdash, everyone's oven by their home is just as hot? No, certainly not. Our ovens are much colder, and we're therefore not going to be as confident that it's going to bake all the way through the full thickness of a tefach, before any chimut happens. And finally, Yomar Betanu Shal Mateches, Yomar Betanu Shal Cheres, we have a concept when it comes to metal, Cham Miktsasel, Cham Kulo, which is another way of saying that metal conducts heat. So metal gets very, very hot, but Tanu Shal Cheres will take a lot longer to heat up to that point. So by the time it gets hot, and by the time it bakes all the way through, it will have become Chametz. So yes, we allow Lechem HaPanim to be a Tefach. Lechem HaPanim has to be a Tefach. That's true, and it's got to be Matzah. That's all true, but they were uniquely suited to do that in the Beis HaMikdash. We are not uniquely suited to do that, and therefore we cannot trust that the Tefach Chai Matzahs are going to in fact remain Matzah and not Chametz. So that can't be the Machlokes B'Sham Beis Hillel. So I'm Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba, She'il says Rabbi B'Yichud, Umanu Rav. I asked Rabbi B'Yichud, there's a Machlokes, what exactly B'Yichud means. Rashi quotes two Perushim, either means Beino Leveini, we were alone, and when we had this conversation, or Bibirur, that I asked for absolute clarity on this issue. That when I raised this question, I said, I want absolute clarity. Uman Rav, and who did I ask? I asked Rav, Ikadami Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav, She'ilu says Rabbi, that Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba said the name of Rav, that he asked Rabbi B'Yichud, and who's Rabbi? Man Rabbeinu HaKadosh, but the question was, my Pas Ova, what does Pas Ova mean? And the answer was, not a thick dough, pas meruba, it means to make a large quantity of dough. V'amai korle pas ova, why do you call it pas ova then? Mishum de nefisha belisha, because it required a lot of kneading since it's a large dough. V'ibay sema basri daitana, pas meruba, pas ova korle, or it could just be a quirk of the language that where that tana lived, they would refer to pas meruba as pas ova. They would refer to things that are very very large quantity, as thick, even though when they actually arranged the dough, it was not thick at all. My time, so what's the reason that you're not supposed to do it? If it's just about that you're making more dough than you're ever going to need for Yom Tov, and therefore it's a tirch delot tzarech on Yom Tov, and it's a hilchus Yom Tov issue, so mayir bePesach, it will be Yom Tov Nami. Why do we say that you're not allowed to do it on Pesach? It should be even on Yom Tov, any Yom Tov, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, any Yom Tov you should not be allowed to do it. It's a tirch delot tzarech. So says Mar Enoch Nami, you're right, any Yom Tov. The Tana just happened to be talking about Yom Tov Shal Pesach, and that's why we use the term Pesach. That was the Girsa issue on the bottom line of Lam Vav and Beis. When we first quoted this price, Einof and Pasava be, so we said Bepesach, not Be Yom Tov. So you see from the Hemshech of the Gemara that the Girsa in fact is Bepesach, and we question why it says Bepesach, because the Halacha is really about Yom Tov, it's really about any Yom Tov. Okay, so we say Bepesach, because they happen to have been discussing a case of Pesach. Tani Nam Yachi, Beshami Ram Einof and Pasava, B'yom tov u'beisil matirin. And we have a braisa that actually says B'yom tov and not Pesach. So you see very clearly it's about all Yom Tov. It's not only about Pesach. So this sugya of Pasava is a fascinating sugya for a number of reasons. First of all, the Stechemid writes that it's mutter to cut matzos with a knife and to make them square because of the comparison to Lechem HaPanim. Meaning apparently we say that there's some limud about how to make matzah from the Lechem HaPanim. So he says, even though the Minhag Yisrael is always to make round matzahs, that was one of the many issues with machine matzahs. When they started making machine matzahs, so it was a huge scandal. Can you have kosher matzahs, machine matzahs? The briskers of Machmir the other way. They hold that a human being cannot possibly protect from chimutz as well as a machine can, so they dafka use. Some of the Soloveitchiks dafka use machine matzahs. They won't use, but the main issue was the Lashma issue, and the early machines were all chametz. I mean, the early machines were very, very slow. They were not able to produce matzahs that quickly, but one of the issues were that the machines have to cut in squares, whereas traditionally we always had round matzahs. So the Stechemid writes that it's mutter to make square matzahs from the Lechem HaPanim. Lechem HaPanim was of a tefach, so if we could learn out the thickness of matzah from Lechem HaPanim, had it not been for these differences between the Zrizin and the Mateches and all that, so it must be we could learn the shape from the Lechem HaPanim as well. In Yehuda Yala, in Chuvus Yehuda Yala, he says that if you make matzahs in a machine, then you must make them square, because if you make them round, then there are going to be cutaways of the dough, and what's going to happen with that dough? Even if you put it right back in, it's very likely to lead to chimut, so it's absolutely important that you make them square. Why, Taka, do we have round matzahs anyway? I mean, where did that minna come from, that we have round matzahs? So there are a number of suggestions in Poskim as far as where that, what the basis of the minna is. Some suggest, because the pasuk says, v'yofos habatzek Ugos matzos. And Rashi says in many places that Uga is a lashon of eagle, like in Maseches Moed Katan and Davdalid, that we say Ogul Saviv Kamo Og Uga Va'amad Betocha, like in Tainis Daf Yutas. When we talk about Choni Hama'agel, he's Og Uga. What's an Uga? He made a circle and he stood in the circle and said, until it rains, I'm not leaving this circle. So the lashon of Uga may be a lashon of a circle. Or the Torah, the second possibility, the Torah calls matzah lechem oni. And Anius, we know, is a galgal achozer biolam. Chazal tell us that Anius and Masechet Babasa, that Anius is something that no family is forever going to be saved from Anius. That's why we always have to take care of each other, because you never know when it's going to come back around to ourselves. So that's why we always, so no family is ever, it's a galgal achozer biolam. So therefore we make the lechem oni a round lechem. Or it could be that in Mitzrayim, the Bnei Yisrael made round matzos, because it could be that those who believed in multiple deities, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, always made bread either triangle or square based on how many deities they believed in, that each corner represented a different one of their gods. So we were very makbid to dafka make circle matzos to show that there's only one, that there is no there are no multiple deities, multiple gods. Now, the even though it's very clear in the Gemara that the thickness of lechem apanim was a tefach, there is a Rambam in Hilchos Tzvidim Musaf in Parakei Halacha Tes, where the Rambam writes that the lechem apanim was sheva etzba'os, and the Ralbag in Parshas Truma says the same thing. He quotes the explanation of the Mishnah in Maseches Menachos that karnos of sheva etzba'os, that the karnos, that means the height of the lechem apanim was sheva etzba'os. So the Acharim have a very hard time with that Rambam and with that Ralbag. What do you do with that? It's clear in the Gemara that it's a tefach. A tefach is four etzba'os, right? A tefach is the size of a fist, but it's four, the etzba is the width of a thumb, so four etzba'os is roughly the size of a fist. That's the shear of a tefach. So where did the Rambam get seven etzba'os from? So I mean, we know where he got it from, but still, how do you reconcile it? So that's something that the Achronim are bothered by. But really more relevant, perhaps, is how thick are you, in fact, allowed to make matzos? Is machlokas rishonim whether the chadchili you're allowed to make pas ava that's pachos mitefach on Pesach? What if it's thick but it's not quite a tefach? Tefach is quite thick, right? So what if you make a lafa, you know, a thick lafa or something like that on Pesach? So the Ritva quotes in the name of the Ra'ah that you're not allowed to make any more min hanohuk, any thicker than the minig is, because since the tefach is asra and the Gemara doesn't, so the Gemara is clear that a tefach is asra, but the Gemara is not clear what the shear actually is. The Gemara never tells us how thick it's allowed to be. And therefore, the minig is to make a matzah shel chova daka, to make it as thin as possible. But the Meiri says, pachas mitefach is mutter lechalchila. The Gemara only says, a tefach is aser, anything less than a tefach is mutter. So the Ritva explains, since the iser is to make pasava, even pachas mitefach, so that's why the Gemara doesn't say that which Beisila was matir pasava on Pesach must have been just under a tefach, and that would have answered all the kashas of Rabbi Yosef, that it's not like the lechem apanim, that's why lechem apanim could be a tefach, and pasava could be less than a tefach. No, the Gemara didn't say that. It must be because we're assuming, not like the Meiri, that anything that's really thick is not okay. So many of the Rishonim, Shulchan Aruch, Paskins, and Siman Tav Samach, that you're not allowed to make pasava a tefach, and the Rama adds, even pachos mitefach, that even though pachos mitefach is mutter, the Rama writes, nechon lechadchila, to make rekikim dakim, to make a very thin rekikim, because rekikim dakim are not mimar lahachmitz. They don't become chametz. So that led to machlokes achronim, but that's still not a shear. So how thick could it be? Meaning, you look at any two brands of matzah, they have different thickness. Right? You buy the chareda matzah, it's a super thin, you have to eat like 10 matzahs to get a kazayas, right? It's a very, very thin, then you have the shatz matzah, are a little bit thicker, then you have the matzahs you can buy in the supermarket on Chol HaMoed, and those are like really thick. So how do you determine what's considered a proper thickness of matzah? So there are different shitos in Achronim. The Mishnah Brura writes that if it's pas ava pachos mitefach, it's mutal kol pachos b'diavad, but you should really examine it inside. The Magen Avraham and the Chida say b'diavad, even if it's a tefach thick, it's good enough. Many Achronim say it's also afilu b'diavad. If it's more than a tefach, according to the Shvos Yaakov, it's going to be maybe even that's not asr. But the Bir Halacha says that that's not how we paskin, that it's going to be asr even b'diavad if it's more than a tefach. But again, how dafin. So what the Achronim write is that definitely pachos me etzba is okay, meaning the next shear down is an etzba. So if it's thinner than an etzba, if it's thinner than the width of your thumb, that's okay. And all of our matzahs are pachos me etzba. Even the Sfardi matzahs that are much thicker, that are more like a lafa, they're way pachos me etzba. And that's why they're perfectly mutter. As Rav Shachter wrote a tshuva years ago, whether you're allowed, an Ashkenazi is allowed to eat Sfardi matzahs, he said the biggest concern is just that it should be under Ashkacha that you recognize. Sometimes you get so excited about the shtick of it, you know, Sfardi matzahs are kosher, but you got to make sure you recognize who's giving the Ashkacha, because it has to be a reliable Ashkacha. But if it's a reliable Ashkacha, then there's nothing particularly wrong with eating it, because it's not, as long as you're pachs me'etzba, you're in very safe territory as far as the thickness of the matzah. Another issue that that comes up over here. Well, actually, let's hold off. So says the, let's see Vayter in the Gemara first. So says the Gemara. Where do we leave off over here? Tan Rabban Yosim Pasnakia on the fourth wide line. So Tan Rabban, the Brisa tells Yosim Pasnakia, a person could be Yotze with Pasnakia, with clean bread, Uba Hadra'a, and with Pas Hadra'a, Uba Srikin Amatsuyarin, and with Srikin Amatsuyarin on Pesach. So Srikin Amatsuyarin so Pasnakia means that it's been sifted really well, and there's no psul of Matzah Ashira. You might have thought if it's such high quality flour, so it might be a problem of Matzah. Ashira. Hadra'a is coarse grain that you could be yotze with that as well. And Srikanam Tsiyarin is where they would engrave an image on the bread. So you could be yotze with all of that in Pesach. Even though you could be yotze the mitzvah with that, it's really not right. You shouldn't make Srikanam Tsiyarin on Pesach. So Baitus Benzun asked the Chavim, what's the problem with making Srikanam Tsiyarin Pesach? Because a woman is going to take time to be able to make the perfect image if she's trying to write happy birthday, sweetheart, whatever. So she's going to take a long time to write the perfect image on the matzah. And by the time she does that, it's before it's being baked. So it's by the time she does that, it's going to become chametz. So Amalem, Efshe Yasen B'Defusvik and a kevan. No, they could have a stamper that has a stamp that she puts right on the dough, and it makes the image on the dough. Like you buy a cookie sometimes where it says the company name on the cookie. There's not some person in the factory that's in there, they just stamp it into the dough, and then it goes into the oven and it bakes right in that way. It'll take 2 seconds. So I'm alone. So the Chum said, you're right, but then Yomru Kola Srika Nasurin Srike Baitus Mutarin. People are going to say, oh, everyone else's images on the dough, that's no good because it takes too much time. But Srike Baitus, because by Baitus they had these things that could stamp right in, that's going to be mutter. No one's going to be able to be mechalik. It's not a good idea. This actually became an expression that we say, Yomru Kola Srika Nasurin. And even when we're not talking about dough, whenever we want to say low plug, it's an expression that means that we have to make a low plug sometimes because people will otherwise become confused. That one time I followed my father to the Beis Rav Gamliel, and they brought him Srikanam Tsiyarin on Pesach, these matzos with images on it. So Amarti, Abba, lo kach amru cham menos and Srikanam Tsiyarin Pesach? Didn't the Cham say that you're not allowed to have Srikanam Tsiyarin on Pesach? Amli b'ni lo shel kol adam amru. They didn't say that everybody's Srikanam Tsiyarin is asur. Elo shel nachtomen amru. It's only by nachtomen, by bakers who are doing it to sell it, so they're very makbid that the image look exactly perfect. So that's where there's a chashash chimutz. But a regular person, they just do it somewhat sloppy, and no one cares, and everyone thinks it's nice. See, ikada amri hachi kamalei. Others say no, it was the reverse. Lo shel nachtomen amru. Elo shel kol adam. A regular person is not used to making these images on the dough, and therefore will take them longer. But Nachtomen, who are used to doing this, will not have a problem. Amar Yossi Osin Srikin Kimin Rikikin Veinosin Srikin Kimin Gluskaos. You can make Srikin when they're very, very thin, but you're not allowed to make them Kimin Gluskaos when they're a little bit thicker, because obviously the Chashash of Chimutz is much, much greater when they're thicker. Someone sent me an email a while ago that there's a company that makes illustrated matzahs. They have matzahs and they laser print on the matzah, like pictures of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Dalit Kosos, and things like that. So I thought right away, ah, Srikin, but it's not really at all the same thing, because in the company does not do that while it's still dough. If it did it while it was still dough, so then it's exactly this this Shaila. What they do is after it's baked, they laser print on with edible ink onto the matzah these pictures. So it's not, it doesn't seem to be the issue of Srikin. The Rokeach writes that they were used to be Mesam in the past by being Dochik Bidofus Shal Eitz, that they had a tzura of a bird on it, and they would just they would press it in, and you're not allowed to do that in Yom Tov because it's like Kosev or Mitzayer. So in Meseches Gittin Daf Chaf, we say that Chakik or Bidofus is not called Ksiva if you imprint with a stamp, that that's not called Ksiva because it says V'kasa V'lo Chakak. But as far as Shabbos and Yom Tov is concerned, you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos and Yom Tov because you're not allowed to make pictures on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's a violation of Kosev. And there are many rayas that the Rokeach has to this idea that it's a violation of Kosev. So the question is, what about letters on cakes, right? Meaning apparently we're making an assumption that the whole issue over here is the issue of chimutz, when you're preparing the matzahs in advance. What about eating these matzahs? What about breaking these matzahs? They have images, they have lettering on them. So the Braisa tells, on Pesach, you're only not allowed to do it because of a chashash chimutz. But other than that, it would be perfectly okay. That's how the Dagel Mervava writes in Simon Shin Mem in Hilcha Shabbos, commenting on the Magen Avram, and he says, based on that, you see that if you have a cake that has letters written on it on Shabbos, or a cookie that has letters written on it on Shabbos, or Yom Tov, you're allowed to eat it, and that's if it's part of the Uga, if it's part of the cake, if it's that it's not external to the cake, you're allowed to eat it. The Chazon Ish writes that you can't bring a raya from Srikanam and Siyarin because they only have tsuros as opposed to a cake that very often has letters. The whole reason that it's mutter is because the tsir is part of the guf ha'uga. So in such a case, it doesn't have a shame tsir at all. It's just the shape of the bread. As opposed to letters, it's hard to call letters the shape of the bread. Letters are distinct enough that you don't just say, oh, meaning what difference does it make? If the bread is a square, I'm ruining the square when I take a bite out of it. No, so if the shape happens to have an image on it, so it's not called, that's just the shape of the bread. But when you actually have letters on it, so Chazon Ish thinks that that's much worse. So according to the Dagel Mervava, you're allowed to, whether it's in the course of eating or whether breaking it by hand, it's mutter, even when the osios are written on top of the uga and they're not really megufa uga, the Dagel Mervava writes. And the reason for the hatter is it's shemochik shalom manas lichtov is only an isra midrabanan. And if you're eating that cake, you're not even having kavana from mechika. So it's eidem miskavim by an isra midrabanan. So it's a psik reshe. So machlok saposkim, whether psik reshe lo nichalei is mutter rasser by an isra midrabanan. But when you're ochel the yuga, then it's mutter lecholadeos, because there are three reasons to be mekel. It's eidem miskavim limchok, it's mekalkel, and it's mechika kala achar yad, because that's not normally the way you would erase something by erasing it with your mouth or by cutting into a cake. So Mishabura writes that you're allowed to break an uga that the osios are made migufa, but if the osios are al gaba, so then he says you cannot break the osios. You can only have it derech achila. So if it's like built into the cake, so then you're allowed to even break it with your hands. You have a cookie or something that has the letters of the company, so that Mishabura says you're allowed to break. But if it's on top, if there's an icing on top of the cake that has lettering on it, so Mishabura says not to cut with your hand. If you want to take the whole cake and stuff it in your mouth, that's mutter to do, but you're not allowed to cut it by cutting the letters. That's why the practice is in the kosher bakeries, they write the lettering on cookies and they put the cookies on top of the cake, and that way you could just remove the cookies, cut the cake, and then you can eat the cookies if you want, because you're allowed to eat it, you're allowed to break it with your mouth, you're just not allowed to break it separately. That's what we pass on, not like the Dagel Mervava. Dagel Mervava is mekel entirely, the Nadav Yehuda is mekel entirely. Okay, so now says the Gemara Vayter, Tanan Hasam. We have a Mishnah in Meseches Challah. Hasuf Ganin, if you have a spongy type of dough, Vaduv Shanin, or you have a dough that's made with honey, Viskaritin, or you have a very thin dough that's fried with some honey, V'chalas Hamasves, and Challah made in a frying pan, Vameduma, or bread that's made with a mixture of Chulin and Truma, Peturim and Achalo. All of these doughs are Pater from Challah. They're not called Lech. lechem. The pasuk says bechala, but achlechem milechem haaretz. Meduma is pater for a different reason, because tarimu truma lashem as opposed to an isa, that's already truma. So it already has truma in there, so you don't take a truma from that which is already truma. Meaning chal is also called truma. So that's tarimu truma lashem. That's a separate reason. But the first several that we listed over here are all because they're simply not called chala. So my chala amasris, what is a chala amasris? I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi, zecholut shel balei batim. That's a reference to that which is boiled in boiling water, that ashirim that would make dough with boiling water would do that, and that's not considered regular making of bread. So Amrei Shlakish halal ma'isa ilfasein, that which the Mishnah patters from challah is made in a frying pan. It's not made in an oven, so that's why it's not called bread. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no, ma'isa ilfas chayavin. Even if you make a bread in a frying pan, it would be chayavin challah. That halalu shasan b'chama. No, the problem over here is you're using the heat of the sun to bake this bread, and that's why it's not considered to be real lechem. Lechem has to be made either in an oven or even a frying pan, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So machlokas Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is whether bread made in a frying pan is considered bread, and therefore whether it would be chayiv and chalas. So they ask on Reish Lakish from the following brisa: Hasufkan vadavshan veskaritin asan beilfis. If they make it in a pot that's put directly on the fire, chayavin, it's chayiv and chala. Bechama, but they make it in the sun, it's potter. So here you have frying pan is chayiv, only in the sun it's potter. Tiftu Rabbi Shimon Lakish, isn't that a kasher Rabbi Shimon Lakish? Because that's exactly Rabbi Yochanan's shita. Samrula amalak Rabbi Shimon Lakish hachameyaskinan sheirtiach. No, Reish Lakish might agree, but the brisa that says that it's chayiv in challah is talking about where you first preheated the frying pan and then you put the dough on it. So that's already like making it in an oven because it's so hot that it's going to bake it very quickly. So the Gemara wonders that it turns out that even by a maisa ilfis, there's a chilik between hirtiach l'b'sof hidbik versus hidbik l'b'sof hirtiach. Meaning the way Reish Lakish is understanding it right now, if you were to ask him, is dough made in a frying pan considered to be chayiv in challah or not? His answer would be, depends. Depends if you preheat. Heated the pan or not. So aval hidbik l'b'sof hirtiach mai, what would the halacha be if you put the dough on and then you burnt it, then you heated it up? So achinami de p'turin, then it would taka be potter. So if that's the case, when the brisa wants to draw a contrast, adatani sefa asan b'chama p'turin, instead of the brisa saying, oh, you know who would be potter? If you make it in the sun, live l'glisi b'dida, make a contrast within the case of the same kli, where you could say, b'med, varim amurim, when do I say that it's chayiv m'chal k'gon shirtiach l'b'sof hidbik? That's if you heat it up and then put the dough in. Aval hidbik l'b'sof hirtiach, peturin. But if you first put the dough and then heated it up, then it's going to be potter. From the fact that the brisa doesn't make that distinction, tells me that distinction doesn't exist, and therefore we're back to akasha Reish Lakish. You have to add a line into the brisa. We're not just contrasting making in a frying pan with making it in with baking it in the sun. We're saying making it in a frying pan where you preheat the frying pan, that's chayiv and challah. When you don't preheat the frying pan, that's the equivalent of baking it in the sun. So we actually are drawing the exact contrast that Reish Lakish is trying to draw between a preheated frying pan and a non-preheated frying pan. Tashma, yotzin b'matzah hina or b'matzah asuya b'ilfis. You could be yotzin with matzah that's not fully baked, and with matzah that's made in a frying pan. So since we said that matzah is lechem oni, so the brisa holds that even maisa ilfis is called lechem, because the matzah's got to be lechem, so it should be chayiv and challah l'chor. So that's a kasha Reish Lakish also. Because if we're going to say that you could be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with it, then you're telling me that it's real lechem. If it's real lechem, it should be chayiv and challah. So answer Gemara, same answer. Hachanam, shetiach, himself hidbik. That brisa is talking about a case where you preheated the frying pan, and that's why it's going to be chayiv and challah, and that's why you can be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with it. My matzahina, what exactly is matzahina? How baked is it that the Bryce says you could be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah, even though apparently it's not fully baked? Not fully baked matzah is a really bad thing, usually. That usually means chametz. So Amar Yidom Shmuel, kol sheparsa ve'in chutinim shachnei mena. As long as when you pull it, there's no like elasticized pieces of dough that you see stretching when you break it apart. If it's so raw that you see stretches of dough, then it's for sure going to be a problem of chimutz. Amar Rav v'chein lach metoda, and the same is true when it comes to the lach metoda that they would bring with the carbon toda. So it has to be that, but when they that when you break it apart, that there are no elasticized parts of it. It says more pshita hachal lachem ksiv hachal lachem ksiv lach metoda. It says that it's got to be matzah by the carbon toda chal lachem chametz yakriv carbono, and by matzah shivus yom tochal matzos lachem oni. So there's no reason to be mechalik between them because it says lach. lechem by both of them. So no, ma'od tema holu tziv v'hikriv mimenu. Since the pasuk says that you were to give one out of, there are 40 loaves of lach metoda, four types, 10 of each type. One of each type you give to the Kohen. So since you bring 40 loaves from the four different minim, 10 of each min, and you give one to the Kohen, so we dash an echad shalo yitel parus, that the Kohen doesn't get a broken piece, he takes a shalim, he takes a full loaf. V'hacha command the prisa damya. But lechem that's not fully baked, it's ki'ilu, it's a broken piece. Because it's so since it's it would break when you try to move it, it's considered to be as if it's already broken, and therefore it doesn't have the kedusha of lach metoda. So kamash malan. That's why Rava is telling us that no, it's not considered a parus, and even as far as the carbon tod is concerned, it's considered one lechem, as long as the same chutin mshachem mimenu. Meaning you might have thought that the standard for lach metod are even higher, that it has to be more fully baked, because if it's raw enough that it would even break when you move it, that that's not good for lach metod. Kamash malan, that is fine for lach metod. The only thing you have to make sure of is that there are no elasticized pieces of dough when you try to pull it apart from each other. So meisvei, so they ask on the from a brisa on Rabbi Yochanan now, that we already asked twice from Reish Lakish, so now we go on the attack on Rabbi Yochanan again about the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish was about dough made in a frying pan. Is it chayiv and chala or is it not chayiv and chala? Is that considered to be something that is bread? So meisvei, so now they ask on Rabbi Yochanan from Mishnah, the first paragraph of Maseches Chala, hamiisa. Mi'isa, which we're not defining at the moment, Beishamay Protim Beisil Mechayvin. Beishamay says Protim Beisil says Chayv. Hachalita, Beishamay Mechayvin Beisil Protim. But Chalita, Beishamay says, is Chayv and Chal Beisil says Protim. So Ezu Ami'isa Vezu Achalita. What do these words mean? So Ami'isa Kemach Shal Gabe Mulgoshin. It's when you put flour on top of boiling water. Vachalita Mulgosh Al Gabe Kemach. And Chalita is when you do the reverse. You put the boiling, pour the boiling water over the Kemach. So Rabbi Shalom and Rabbi Yossi Omer Mishal. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi says in the name of his father that there's no machlokes b'sham b'sil about this. Zeva zeh, both mi'isa and chalita liptur are patur from chala. And va'amrila and others say that no. Where Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi said zeva zeh l'chiyuv that they're both chayiv and chala. V'chamram echad zeh asan be'ilfas patur b'tavur chayiv. And that's the key line, that if it's made in a frying pan, then it's going to be patur from chala, because that's not real bread. Bread isn't made in a frying pan. But if it's made in a tanur, then it's going to be chayiv. So before we finish off the kasha, we first explain the brisa. The Tanakam, according to the Tanakam, the Beishamay and Beisil argue in the Mishnah, and there's a difference between Mi'isa and Chalita. Maishna Mi'isa, Maishna Chalita. Why is it that by Mi'isa, Beishamay says Pater, Beisil says Chayiv, and by Chalita, Beishamay says Chayiv, and Beisil says Pater? They're both some sort of mixture of flour and boiling water. So why? What difference does it make which one you put in first? Flour and boiling water should have the same din either way. So Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, v'chein Amar Rabbi Yehuda, v'yitem Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, k'machlokas b'zu, kach machlokas b'zu. That there's really no chiluk between them. That the same way you have machlokas by Mi'isa, you have machlokas by Chalita. And whoever says pater will say pater by both of them. Whoever says chayiv will say chayiv by both of them. V'tavra, misha shanazu, lo shanazu. The reisha and the seif of the brisa are actually a stira between each other. And whoever taught the reisha of the brisa didn't teach the seif of the brisa. Meaning they're arguing about which side Beishamay came on, down on, which side Beisil came down on. Was Beishamay the one that was Machmir, Beisil Mekil, or the other way around? But whatever you're going to hold about Mi'isa, you're going to hold about Chalita also. There's no room, there's no daylight between them as far as mixing boiling water and flour. But Katani Mi'as, the reason we're quoting all of this is, that if you make it in a frying pan, it's going to be pot from Chala. Tiyufta Rabbi Yochanan, but that's a Tiyufta Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says if you make it in Ilfis, it's going to be Chayiv and Chala. So I'm like Rabbi Yochanan Tanai. Rabbi Yochanan say Ein Achinami. That's true. There is such a shita, but it's a machlokas Tanaim. So therefore, I'm not so bothered by that. I pass like the other shita in Tanaim. Where do I find that it's machlokas Tanaim? The Tanya, because you have a brisa. Yachol Yem Misa Chaluta Chayiv and Bechala. You might think the Misa and Chaluta are Chayiv and Chala Tamalomar Lechem. That's why the pasuk says Lechem Loshon Lechem comes to be Mimait Misa and Chaluta. Rabbi Yudomar Ein Lechem Ela Afa B'Tanur. Rabbi Yudah says,
lechem is always defined as only that which is baked in an oven. I, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Tanakama. What's Rabbi Yehuda saying any different than the Tanakama? They're both saying that Me'isa and Chaluta are not lechem, and therefore are part from Chalo. Elalav, Meisa Ilfa, Sikabidai. What they're arguing about is when it's made in a frying pan. Tanakama Savra, Meisa Ilfis Chayavin. That dough that's made in a frying pan is Chayav and Chala, and only Me'isa and Chaluta are potter because before you need them, they're already boiled, they're already baked sort of by the boiling water that you're mixing with the flour, so that's why it's not lechem. But the frying pan would not have been the problem, according to the Tanakhama. It's only the fact that the water is boiling when you pour it into the flour. That's the problem when you mix it with the flour. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Maisa Ilfas Patur. Rabbi Yehuda says, forget about the boiling water. It would always be potter anyway, because you're making it in a frying pan. Any dough that you make in a frying pan is going to be potter. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. This is in fact a machlokas Tanaim, and I hold like that Shita in Tanaim. So the Gemara says, nah, that can't be the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Lo, you don't have to say that this Bryce is talking about a case that they're arguing about Maisa Ilfis. To Kuli Alma Maisa Ilfis Paturin. Maybe both the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda hold that a Maisa Ilfis is part of Ramchala, like the Shita of the Chachamim in the previous Bryce, which we left as a Kasha and Rabbi Yochanan. Vahacha Kigon Shechazer Vahafo Betanu Kamifugi. Over here, the machlokas is that if you make something in a frying pan and then you bake it, the Tanakama Savar, Kivin Shechazer Vahafo Betanu Lechem Karina Bay, that since you then bake it in an oven, it's called lechem. Rabbi Tzavra ein lechem el afay b'taner meikara. That no, lechem is only when it was originally baked in an oven. V'kiv the meikara la b'taner afyei lav lechem hu. And since the Maisa Ilfis was originally not baked in an oven, it was first made in a frying pan, that's not lechem, and therefore it's going to be part from chala. Amar Rav, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. What's the basis for Rabbi Yehuda that even if you rebake it in an oven, that it's going to be part from chala? D'chsiv, because the pasuk says in the parsha of the Tochacha va'afu eser nashim lechem betanur echad. So lechem afu betanur echad kari lechem. The lechem that's baked in one type of oven, that's called lechem. V'she'en afu betanur echad ein kari lechem. So it's a drasha, meaning it's a curse that 10 women are going to have to share a single oven. But we make an additional level of interpretation that only something is only defined as lechem when it's made betanur echad. But when it's exposed to multiple heat sources in its preparation, then it's not going to be halachically defined as lechem. So it's a technicality in terms of lechem. Now there is a machlokas rishonim whether a belila of a thick dough that's metugenes or mevushelas that you fry or that you cook in water, what the halacha is in terms of its status for challah and for the bracha. Rabbeinu Tam paskins that a belila of a that's metugenes b'shemen like sufganiyot or that's cooked in water is considered lechem, both as far as challah that it's chayiv challah and as far as the bracha that you say on motzi lechem in haaretz, even if you're magalgal al das l'tagin o levashalosa. But according to Rabbeinu Shimshon, that's quoted in Tosos, according to Rabbeinu Shimshon, even if it's a regular lisha and you want to cook it in water or to fry it, you don't make hamotzi and it's butter from challah. And Rabbeinu Meir was knowing to be machner misafek as far as challah when they would need the dough in order to cook it, having planning to cook it or to fry it. He would say to bake only a little bit at a time, so that and through that he would say to bake a little bit of it, so that you could be sure that it's chayiv and challah. Because if you're baking some of it, then it's going to be chayiv and challah. As far as a bracha, he wouldn't eat from a tugan of mevushal without first washing on it and saying amotzi. So this is a major machlokas rishonim as far as what the halachic status for bracha is, and as far as what the halachic status is for amotzi. Now our bagels are, we paskin are chayiv and challah, we bake them afterwards anyway. The achronim paskin that matzah that's baked in an electric oven, even though there's no flame and there's no gechalim, there's no chashash chimut, because the chashmal creates a very very high level of heat and it bakes very very quickly, so you don't have to worry about that. Meaning that's not called bechama, right? Our Gemara said that if you bake it bechama, then you're going to have a problem. The other other issue that comes up over here is the Rishonim use our sugya as a raya for the status of Irei Kli Rishon. Rabbeinu Tam paskins that Irei Kli Rishon is mevasha like a Kli Rishon. And Rabbeinu Tam brings a raya from our Gemara. The Gemara says, why is there a difference between Me'isa and Chalita? And it says there should be no difference. What difference does it make if you put the flour into the boiling water or you pour the boiling water over the flour? Rabbeinu Tam says, Ribbono Shalom, one of them is a Kli Rishon, one of them is Irei Kli Rishon. So don't you see that the Gemara is assuming that Irei Kli Rishon is exactly the same? So the other Rishonim say, well, we're not talking about the Malach of Bishul over here. We're talking about whether this is called Lechem. So it's a different sugya. It's not necessarily connected to each other. Let's go a little bit weiter. Yosef, Rabbi, Rabbi Yosef, Acharid, Rabbi Zeir. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef were sitting behind Rabbi Zeir. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Zeir, came to Ula. Rabbi Zeir was in front of Ula. Amalei, Rabbi, Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi, my name is Ula. Could you ask Ula, Hidmik mi bifnim, vihir tiach mi b'chutz, if you attach the dough on the inside of the frying pan and you boil it up on the outside, mahu, what's the din? Is it chayiv and chala or not? Does Reish Lakish hold that Maisa Ilfis is pater? Will he be moda that this type of baking would be chayiv? So Amalei, Mayemalei, Diaminalei, Amalei, Heiniu Maisa Ilfis. If I ask him, he's just going to say it's exactly Maisa Ilfis. Why are you asking me about the old machlokas from Yochan Reish Lakish? So Amalei, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Zeir, by my name, Ula, Hidbik me befim vavuka kenegdo. What if you have an avuka, a torch of fire, a kenegad the Ilfis above it? So Mahu, what's the din? Is that considered a Maisa Ilfis or not? So Amalei, Mayemalei, what can I ask him? I can't ask him that. Diaminalei, Amalei, Rav Aniyim Osim Kane. He's just going to respond to me that most of the Aniyim do that, that they put an avuka right by the opening of the Ilfis in order to speed up the baking without using too much firewood, because they couldn't afford firewood, even though the Gemara we learned earlier back on Daf Tesvav, that firewood, and again Daf Chaf, that firewood is a hefsid muat, it's not considered a hefsid meruba, like ruining all the chulin is a hefsid meruba, to make two fires to burn the Chuma Tumeh, the Chuma Torah, it's just a hefsid muat. But for Aniyim, it's a real loss. For Aniyim, they can't afford so much firewood, so they would speed up the baking with putting an extra fire over there. So that's also got to be included in the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So I'm not going to ask questions that have already been dealt with and answered, that they are a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up three lines from the bottom of the page tomorrow.